So I want to read you something from the Majjhima Nikaya, which is called the sutra I want to read from is called the Bhairava Sutta, or the Sutra on Fear and Dread. Whenever I haven't got the book in front of me, I always think it's the Sutra on Fear and Loathing. maybe I'll write that. So it says, thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Savati in Jetta's Grove, Anatta Pindika's park. Then the Brahmin Janusoni went to the Blessed One and exchanged greetings with him. Janusoni the Brahmin. Janusoni isn't the Brahmin's name, it's actually a title that means something like chaplain to the king. So he was the priest that attended to the ruler in those parts. When this courteous and amiable talk was finished, he sat down at one side and said something. But well, I guess I just want to drop in a note here and say actually, the Buddha was, one of the things the Buddha was famous for is going into the jungle on his own and meditating. And he talks about that a little bit later in the sutta. But we often forget that he was quite involved in the cities of his time as well. He had audiences with kings. The person he's chatting to today, it says, the courteous and amiable talk was finished, is the priest to the king. So as well as talking to people on the street that he meets, he's also quite involved in the political life. And occasionally he gives talks on how cities should be run. I guess I'm just saying that because as Buddhists we can sort of think, oh well, I'm doing my meditation, I'm doing my practice, I'm doing my inner work, and that's enough. But for the Buddha that wasn't enough. He also wanted to be engaged in how society was working around him and being in touch with the world as well. So here's somebody very much in the world coming to chat to the Buddha. And Jenna knows, he says, Master Gautama, when clansmen have gone forth from the home life into the homelessness out of faith in Master Gautama, do they have Master Gautama for their leader, their helper, their guide? Do these people follow the example of Master Gautama? That is so, Brahmin, that is so. When clansmen have gone forth from the home into the homeless life, out of faith in me, they have me for their leader, their helper and their guide. And these people follow my example. Is leading to something, is a sort of gentle question to allow to get to the point, if you like. But Master Gautama, he says, remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest are hard to endure. Seclusion is hard to practice, and it is hard to enjoy solitude. One would think the jungles must rob a bhikkhu of his mind if he has no concentration. That is so, Brahmin, that is so. Remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest are hard to endure. Seclusion is hard to practice, and it is hard to enjoy solitude. One would think the jungles must rob a bhikkhu of his mind if he has no concentration. Before my enlightenment, while I was still only an unenlightened bodhisattva, I too considered this. Remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest are hard to endure. The jungles must rob a bhikkhu of his mind if he has no concentration. You could try spending a night or two in the forest and let me know how you get on. I considered thus, the Buddha said, whenever recluses or Brahmins, unpurified in bodily conduct, resort to remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest, then owing to the defect of their unpurified bodily conduct, these good recluses and Brahmins evoke unwholesome fear and dread. But I do not resort to remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest, unpurified in bodily conduct. I am purified in bodily conduct. I resort to remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest as one of the noble ones, with bodily conduct purified. Seeing myself in this purity of bodily conduct, I found great solace in dwelling in the forest. And then he goes on to say the same, not just for bodily conduct, but for some other factors as well. I considered thus, whenever recluses or Brahmins unpurified in verbal conduct, mental conduct, livelihood, resort to remote thicket resting places, it's a bit of a tongue twister, in the forest, they evoke unwholesome fear and dread, but I am purified in verbal conduct, mental conduct, and livelihood. I resort to remote jungle thicket resting places in the forest as one of the noble ones, with a livelihood purified, verbal conduct purified, and so on. Seeing myself in this purity, I found great solace in dwelling in the forest. I like that for a couple of reasons. One is that as Pure Land Buddhists, we put our faith in the Buddha first. And in fact, even in this sutta, the first question that the priest asks the Buddha is about faith in the Buddha. Do your disciples have faith in you? Is that why they go and meditate in the jungle? That's still the foundation that we're working on. But what he then goes on to highlight is the importance of keeping the precepts, bodily conduct, keeping the precepts around speech, around the kind of work that you do in the world. All of these acts that you take, physical acts, mental acts, verbal acts, acts of work, unless you're a Buddha, produce some kind of karma. They leave some kind of trace in your mind. If you're engaged in good acts, good verbal talking, good thought, good work, they leave good traces, better traces. And if you're engaged in harmful acts, harmful forms of speech, harmful ways of thinking, harmful forms of livelihood, you begin to accumulate negative karma. And then when you go into the forest, if you're going into the forest with negative karma, you experience fear and dread. There's a monster in every shadow. The faces in the trees come to life, you know, like in those really scary cartoons when you go into a dark forest. But it's not that there's something in the forest, it's just what you're taking into the forest. When the Buddha goes in his ideal state of now only acting in ways that are good and speaking in ways that are wholesome, having a livelihood that's wholesome, there's no fear and dread in the jungle. And because the Buddha enjoyed lists, he went on to repeat exactly the same form of words, but for other characteristics. I considered thus, the Buddha said, whenever recluses or Brahmins who are covetous and full of lust, and in here it says ... just to save having even more pages in the book. So the other characteristics are, with a mind of ill will and intentions of hate, you experience fear and dread. With a mind of loving kindness, no fear and dread. A mind of sloth and torpor, fear and dread, no sloth and torpor, no fear and dread. A restlessness and unpeaceful mind, fear and dread. A restful and peaceful mind, no fear and dread. He talks about doubt, self-praise, disparagement of others, tendency to alarm and terror, people who want gain, honour and renown for themselves, people who are lazy and lacking in energy, people who are unmindful and not aware, unconcentrated, all of those sorts of people will experience fear and dread in the jungle. So I'll probably avoid going into the jungle. And this is, I guess this is a topic that interests me. Every form of spiritual practice has a shadow. The danger of a spiritual practice that is faith-based is that you become complacent. This was a big controversy, and they called this the licensed evil controversy in medieval Japan. If all you need to do is have faith, then you don't need to worry, and then that takes care of everything else. Surely you can go out and kill a few people and then come back and have faith and everything will be okay. Well, no, if you really have faith and you keep going down that path and deepening your connection with the Buddha, actually you stop wanting to kill people or have unharmful work and so on. The shadow of the kind of practice that encourages you to look at the exterior is that you become a kind of robot who keeps the precepts but is full of hidden currents of greed, hate and delusion that are suppressed. Ideally, both of these kinds of practices work together. As in the sutta, you begin with faith in the Buddha, but that you then also become mindful of how am I acting, how am I speaking, how am I talking, so that when you go on retreat, or when you're alone with yourself, there's no fear and dread. Okay, I think that's enough. No more meetup here.